good morning to you, Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers. God, I thank you. I thank you for another opportunity to serve you. Another opportunity, Lord God, to be real. That's what I thank you for this morning. And Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus this morning. And God, I want to thank you that I serve a living, resurrected Savior. He ain't dead. That's for sure. That's for sure, sure. So, thank you this morning, Father God. Thank you for our life, our health, our strength. Brothers and sisters, I got something to share with you. It, you know, God is just good all the time.
Somebody say, it's the blood. It's the blood. If you would learn how to plead the blood over your family, if you would learn how to plead the blood over your children, you would see a transformation like never before. Somebody just say, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh. Come on, this is the stuff we used to do for communion. Yeah. These are the songs that carried us. It washed out the wine. Come on, sing it like it's Sunday morning. Say, oh, the blood.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Blood of Jesus.
That's easy. Yeah. answer. Just be honest. What came and made you a home again? Nothing to, come on. Oh, precious. It makes me
Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica, and good morning, Jesus believers. Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord this morning. He is so good. We just got to learn how to lean and depend on him and him alone. He'll do it for you. Because
yes,
in him is everything we need. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Praise God.
Yeah.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And amen again.
Amen. Three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Yes. Brothers and sisters, yesterday, I couldn't talk to but maybe one or two people. But I do want to thank each and every one of you that however God told you to pray or whatever God told you to do, you did it. And I want to thank you because whatever he had told you to do, the works was fruitful. So I want to share something with you. I was thinking about, I said, God, why is it so many people are going crazy because they want people to follow them? I said, what's happening here? Something is wrong. I said, something is very, very wrong. I said, now, God, you know, in America, throughout the history of America, you always had a leader somewhere. Man of God that could stand up and give a word instant in season, or that had a leading or a guidance for the people of God. I said, God, something is very, very wrong. I said, you got this man over here. And we know his background is of an Aryan persuasion. You know, Aryan, blonde hair, blue-eyed Nazis. I said, and you got this man trying to take over people's minds and and trying to do it in a really bad way. I said, you ain't really got nobody here in America that's standing up for you and showing us, like, this is God's way. Walk ye there in it. I said, something is wrong. I said, you got all these women. And I said, now in America, that's not going to happen. They ain't going to raise up no woman to lead. Not like they would like to see the country go, blah, blah, blah. I said, now I'm not smart enough, God, to have any of these answers. I said, but you do. So I called up a friend of mine. I'm talking, when I say friend, I mean friend. And remember, I ain't got too many. And so I said, let's talk about this. I said, how is your Bible study going? Now understand, I'm over that Bible study. So I'm looking for some feedback. And they say, it's going great. I said, okay. Now, I had already talked to another person, and I'm over their Bible study and their ministry, and it's going great. Now, I said, God, if all this is going great, but they're not being led by people who have a worldly interest. I said, these people have a godly interest, and it's you. I said, and they're not out here trying to lead nobody. Because I remember what I said yesterday about some of your children. And some of you are the way you are because of your parents. All right? So I'm talking to this friend of mine. I can't do a whole bunch of talking anyway. And they're listening. Because they're one of these people you talk to, they don't say nothing. They listen. And then they'll say, I'm going to pray in tongues about it, because that's what they do. And I say, yeah, you do that. I also rely on them to send me info, because I know it's going to be Jesus-based. And have God's wisdom in it. And I also know they're a happy person. See, you don't want to be around a lot of unhappy people. I don't. You don't want to be around a lot of negative people. That's what I was around with Jose. Negative, negative, negative. Woo. But then, now I understand what a person with a damaged brain looks like. I understand a bit more how a person with a brain damage to the point that they got brain blockers in their head. And so I just prayed because I knew God was healing me. But I, like I say, I knew I had to go through this week here too. And so this friend of mine, I'm going to try to find it. I call myself saving it. They sent me something from Charisma. You know Charisma magazine? Some, I guess you know. And it said, let me see. I didn't play it yet, but I'm going to see if you can hear it.
Monet eturivin poliitikot Unkarissa tunnustavat julkisesti kristillistä uskoa, ja yksi heistä on perheasiaministeri Katalin Novak, jonka sain tavata aivan hetkeä ennen Unkarin kansallista rukousaamiaista. Madam Minister, thank you for taking time for this interview in the midst of your probably busy week.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Okay, let me share this with you. It says, Hungary elects Bible-believing woman with passion for family values as president. Are you hearing me? Hungary, the nation of Hungary, elected a Bible-believing woman with a passion for family values as president. Now, this would have been, this is from, coming out of the Israeli news, 3 p.m. edition on the 7th when she was elected. Let me see. Oh boy, I can't find it. But anyway, it's on the internet. It wasn't soon. But listen to this. This was a woman, a mother of 3, who is known for her strong pro-family policies, which are a top priority in her government. This lady has a degree in economics from a university here in the States. She is now the president of Hungary. I say she is the president of Hungary. Katalin Novak. She was Hungary's family minister until 2021. The article says she was elected president with a resounding 137 votes in the first round of the March 10th presidential election. It gave her the 2/3 majority votes. Her opponent, a lawyer and economist, received just 51 votes. What I'm trying to tell you is the same thing I've been trying to tell you all the time. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let him do it. He's a liar and he doesn't know what God is doing. Believe that. Now, over there where people blood bleeding out on the streets and dying, right in the middle of one of their nations, God caused a woman to be made president, a woman with family values, a woman that thinks with his mind. You don't have to follow the masses, but you have to follow Christ. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Listen, just listen.
Nice things about us, but I didn't understand the word.
I think your ambassador may check it
I'm
out.
Sure.
So,
yeah. I'm sure he will. We are not that close, unfortunately. You know, we don't understand your language and you don't understand ours, even if it's not that far, literally, from each other.
So true, unfortunately. You have said in an interview that Christianity is not an option, but a destiny. What do you mean by that?
That's for us Hungarians, but I could also say that for us Europeans, it is not a choice if we are Christian or not. It is our history. It is our destiny as well. It is our history. It means that it's in our past, and it is our destiny. It means that it is also in our present and in our future. it's not a choice because we are Christians. And if it, even if we try to deny it, we are not able to deny it. It is too printed in our everyday lives, even if even those who don't attend masses, those who don't go to church, I mean, if they think about the most important holidays, for example, these are the Christian holidays. Why is, for example, Christmas or Easter so important for all of us? Because they are Christian holidays, just to mention one very simple example.
But many European politicians disagree with you.
Yes, of course. And I don't see a problem in disagreeing with each other, but I'm convinced that the truth is on our side. And for us Hungarians, it is not that difficult to admit our Christianity because even the founding king of our country, Saint Stephen, who is a saint, he was the one who chose Christianity for us Hungarians 1,000 years ago. So it means that the founding of our country is also the choice of Christianity in Hungary. So if we are Hungarians, then we are also Christians.
Right. In the new Hungarian constitution, there is a strong emphasis on families and unborn babies and Christian values in general. How does it affect and impact your policies and politics?
It defines all our decisions. It is really the basis of our decision making. That means that we have a family oriented, I could also say a pro-family policy all over it, in our economic decisions, but also in our everyday lives, in the mentality we drive here in Hungary. That means that we put families in the focus, and we try to, on one hand, help young adults to be able to have as many children as they want to in the moment when they want to have these children. And we also help later on to be able to raise these children in the most proper, responsible way. And for that, of course, families need financial assistance, need services, and need also a family-friendly mentality.
Mm. So the constitution was recently changed. How has it changed the society? And what was the past and compared to today's situation?
We had a constitution even in 2010, which was back from 1949. Can you imagine that? I mean,
wow.
1949, that's not that it's ancient, but what was actually the mindset in 1949 in Hungary? We still inherited this constitution and we didn't change it and nobody changed it until 2011. We were the only country in this region or in the post-Soviet area which still had a constitution based on values that we don't accept. And even if it was amended many times, we had to put it on a new basis. And we had the support of the Hungarian people. That's what we reached a two-third majority and we could govern with this support of the Hungarian people. And that's why we could, in the parliament, really change our constitution from the basis in 2011, so already 10 years ago. And there we could implement the value of Christianity, the value of life, the value of families, and our responsibility, for example, for the Hungarians living outside our borders, or our responsibility as well for our Christian brothers and sisters all around the world.
Mm. I come from Finland, and what I read, what I hear in the media is unfortunately quite wide criticism on your policies on families and how you are restricting human rights and I understood that you are hearing these kind of comments from all over Europe. So what do you think about Europe?
First of all, about the criticism, yes, we hear it, we experience it from all over, but if you just, think about the Bible, then we all know that it's not always acknowledged in the same moment, that the right decision is not always acknowledged in the same moment. The question is what our perspective is. Is it really the short-term perspective or the really long love, the eternity, I should say. And if we keep eternity in our mind as a perspective, then we don't have to always be worried about the actual critics we get. And we are not responsible for everybody all around the world, but we are on the first place responsible for our brothers and sisters here in Hungary. What was, sorry, the second part of your question? It was about criticism and also...
I don't remember it anymore.
I'm sorry if I drove you to another direction, because you started with... what do I think about Europe? I remember now. What do we think about Europe? Well, Europe for us, it's not a choice either, because I mean, I hear from time to time that, you know, we want to drive Hungary out of the European Union, and even if Europe is not the European Union, we don't have to mix the two. But still, we could also speak about the European Union, and there I should say that I mean, where could we live to? We are living in the middle of Europe, in the heart of Europe. Linked with million links to the surrounding and not only the surrounding countries, so we don't want and we could not leave anywhere. So you cannot, you know, change the number of the house you live in. It's just you have a determined neighbors and you have a determined geographical place in the world. And we don't want to change it. We couldn't change it if we wanted to. So we have a responsibility for Europe. And we are worried for Europe, actually. I am personally also worried for Europe, because I think that Europe is giving up on its main values. And we not only deny Christianity, but we also deny the importance of families, the importance of life.
That's my next question, is that why is traditional family values under attack?
That's a very good question, and we should sometimes raise this question. Why are they in attack? Because the question is raised the other way around. Why do we preserve traditional families? Why do we have in our constitution marriage as the union of one man and one woman? Why do we think that family is mother, father, children, and the relatives? The question is always raised like that, not the other way around, just as you did. And I think that's what we should study, that why shall we change this? Why shall we give up on our most important values? If you ask, I mean, everybody has a mother and a father. Even those who deny the importance of having mothers and fathers, they all have a mother and a father, and that's all they have.
You have also said that Hungarian family policy holds enormous potential.
Hopefully it does. The reason why I think, the reason why it now attracts international attention, that was not our aim. We had never targeted the international audience, saying that, well, we will do something that you know, raises awareness. We just wanted to do the best for our people. But at the end of the day, I think the reason why it has become a, well, I don't want to exaggerate, but let's say a champion in pro-family policies, is because we are successful in economic terms. Nobody denies it, because these are numbers. And in the meantime, we seem to be successful in demographic terms, because the marriages are at a very high level right now, two times as much as it used to be 10 years ago. We have the highest increase among the European countries. The divorces in the meantime are at a 60-year low. We have a 41% decrease in abortions. If I can be so personal, it was not that easy to have the reading of the Bible as an everyday practice in my life, but I now do have it for now quite a long time, and that's how I start my day. And it just gives me the security, the feeling of being responsible, but in the meantime, it makes me remember each and every day that our country is not ours, but it doesn't belong to us, but it belongs to Him. That the power is not ours; it belongs to Him, and also the. The we are not the ones who should feel so proud of achieving anything, but this pride is also his. And if I remember these three things each and every day, then I hope that my decisions will be better.
Mm. Madam Minister, it was a pleasure having this moment with you. I wish you all the best and God's blessing in your very valuable work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
His righteousness, he humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
While you're looking at TV, I want you to remember one other thing, brothers and sisters. Those people, those Ukrainian Christians, blood pouring through the streets, you got to form God's opinion when you God's people. But I talked to somebody. I said, you know that that President Zelensky is a Jew, don't you? They said, what? I said, you know that the President Zelensky is a Jew, don't you? Do you know that? Blood bought, blood redeemed. Jew. I said, now what's amazing? I said, when we read our Bible history, when we see how many Jews have shed their blood so that men and women might be free, I said, I believe we could start with Jesus, right? Because Jesus was a Jew, wasn't he? Wake up. Wake up. Don't let anybody take over your mind. And you ought to be wondering why they're trying so hard.
Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus. Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Lord of all, Lord. We'll be right back.
matter whether you believe it or not, Jesus is alive and Jesus is coming again. Brothers and sisters, recapture your own mind. The Bible says, except you have the mind of Christ. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be not afraid. I have overcome the world. Take your own mind back. Wherever you let it go.